So I think we are in the fortunate position that inflation in South Africa is at quite a low rate currently. Why I say that is just to lead into the VAT discussion. The biggest impact of a VAT increase will, of course, be that with the exception of the products that are zero VAT rated, we will see price rises on the 1st of May if this VAT increase goes ahead. So basically across the board, again, excluding products like certain foodstuffs and petrol that we do not pay VAT on, for most other products, those prices will need to be adjusted upwards come the 1st of May. And then also next year in April, if the further 0.5 percentage point VAT increase goes ahead next year. So in a nutshell, the biggest impact is a inflationary or a cost of living impact.
Obviously, with an inflation increase in South Africa comes a potential interest rate increase as well. So can we potentially see at the next monetary policy committee meeting by the central bank, can we see them potentially hiking interest rates again?
No, I think that's very unlikely. We're in a interest rate cutting cycle in South Africa. We've seen 75 basis points worth of interest rate reductions over the last 6 months or so. The Reserve Bank has, of course, at their latest interest rate decision a couple of weeks ago, they decided to keep the interest rate unchanged. So I think if we do see these VAT increases, and depending on a whole bunch of other variables, we'll probably see the Reserve Bank keeping the interest rate unchanged for the foreseeable future. But I think we are quite some way from talking about interest rate increases. So thankfully for the consumer, again, where I started the discussion, because inflation is quite benign in South Africa at this stage, we're running around 3% on a year-on-year basis. So that's quite low in inflation for this country. So in that environment, there's no need at this stage, even with the VAT increase, for the Reserve Bank to start thinking about increasing the interest rate.
The increase obviously comes in light of us having a budget shortfall here in South Africa, and obviously when negotiations happened, you know, certain political parties were saying that we need to find other alternatives instead of hiking the VAT. There needs to be some sort of other alternatives that we can find to plug those budget shortfalls that we have here in South Africa. But now, how realistic would it actually be for National Treasury to find that alternative revenue streams as was suggested by political parties like Action SA?
So this is easier said than done, because it comes to context where there are significant spending pressures on government. We've seen a public sector wage settlement now for 3 years, which is adding, you know, billions to the expenditure line. And there are other also lots of other expenditure pressures. There's quite a bit of money that the Treasury has allocated to PRASA, the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa. Now, this is a good thing, right? Because if PRASA functions better, poor South Africans who make use of public transport could now be able to use the trains again, which they haven't been able to do for quite some time. And that will come at a lower cost. So that will reduce transport costs for many South Africans. So the Treasury is trying to balance these expenditure pressures, but they need revenue to be able to fund that. Now, of course, what some of the political parties are saying, and there is some merit to this, is that there is a lot of wastage in the way that many government departments spend their budget allocations. And rather than increasing VAT, we should be looking to those departments and put some pressure on them to be spending money more efficiently. Now, again, I think there's lots of merit in that, But that does not necessarily happen overnight. You know, the Treasury needs to fund this budget on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis. And in the absence of people spending more efficiently, we don't have many, many other options. Sorry, just to say that the best option here, and this is also what the DA has been arguing for, is that we need to grow this economy at a faster pace. So we need to be implementing a more business-friendly environment where the economy performs better, so companies are more profitable, so it's then the economy, a better-performing economy that generates the revenue that the Treasury needs. That would very much be the first prize. But once again, you're not going to turn around the economy overnight. And I think it's a timing issue here. And that's why the Treasury has said that if we can turn around the economy in the next 12 months or so, then that further 0.5% VAT increase in 2026 may in fact not be necessary.
On that topic on, you know, economic growth and government spending, a lot of people will say that the reason why we have this budget shortfall is because of years of mismanagement, as well as very, very low economic growth percentages over the last few years. And, you know, with this VAT increase now, what does this actually mean for South Africa on the international stage when it comes to the confidence that international investors will actually have in the South African economy?
So this is an interesting dynamic, whereas the ordinary folk in South Africa would be very much and are very much against a VAT increase. That's not necessarily the case from a foreign investor perspective, because the foreign investor looks at the sustainability of South Africa's public finances. And they say to themselves, if the Treasury is prepared to increase the VAT rate, that will actually contribute to improved fiscal sustainability or sustainability of the budget over time. So the financial markets did not react negatively to the proposed VAT increase. What they have reacted negatively to is the concern about the future of the GNU because of the disagreements between the parties on the budget. So yes, we have seen a negative foreign investor reaction to the budget deliberations, but it's not because of the VAT hike per se. It is, as I say, it is the concern about the GNU.
On that topic of, you know, the GNU, we know that the DA was quite upset about what happened in Parliament, and there were talks about the DA potentially leaving the GNU and the GNU collapsing in its current form at least. Sustina Sen also saying that, you know, that as you mentioned, there was a negative reaction by foreign investors, and that affected the JSE and the markets in South Africa quite significantly. With the way that things are going now, where the DA and the ANC seem to not be able to agree on a lot within the GNU. You know, there's still quite a lot of time that the ANC and the DA have to kind of spend together in Parliament on, you know, a variety of issues that will affect the South African economy. How will this, you know, fighting between the ANC and the DA, as well as, you know, recently Mr. Trump also signed into law his tariffs that he's slapping on South African products as well. How do you foresee all of these aspects, you know, affecting the South African economy moving forward?
Yeah, so I think it's very important that you brought in the international angle here. And first of all, what we're seeing internationally, what Mr. Trump is doing, and at the same time, we have the concern on the GNU. The first important channel is confidence. So it's going to undermine business and consumer confidence in South Africa. And we've already talking about that it's undermining investor confidence. So you have all three of those confidence, let's call it channels, that are being undermined. And that feeds through into the decisions that consumers make and that business make. So on the business side, if there's a lack of confidence, what you normally see is business is unwilling, well, not unwilling, but they postpone investment decisions. Mm-hmm. Consumers postpone big ticket expenditure decisions like buying a car or a house or expensive furniture. And that then flows back into the growth of the South African economy. So I think over the past couple of weeks, the shock from Mr. Trump, the uncertainty about the GNU, if you throw that into a pot, it suggests that South Africa's growth this year is likely to be lower than what we thought a month or a month and a half ago. So people were sort of pitching growth at around 1.5 to 2% on the more optimistic side for this year. That's probably now going to be downgraded to between 1 to 1.5% for this year. And I would probably say where we sit today, the risk is that it's closer to that 1% mark for 2025.
Now, with that reduced economic growth rate this year, what does that actually mean for job growth in South Africa?
Well, there's a close link between the performance or the growth of the economy and employment in the economy. There are lags here, but over time, the only way that South Africa will improve its job growth and lower its very high rate of unemployment is much faster rates of economic growth. And indeed, we saw that in the early 2000s when the economy was growing at 4.5%, 5% for a number of years. We did, in fact, manage to increase employment. The converse has been true the last decade or so, where the economy has performed, as you mentioned earlier, very poorly in terms of growth. We have not seen the jobs that we require. So we're now in a job recovery mode. We're still recovering post the COVID shock. But if we now see weak growth this year, as we had last year, it just sets back that post-COVID recovery in South Africa in terms of jobs.
Obviously, with the topic of jobs and with Mr. Trump also slapping that tariffs on South African imports into America, we need to consider our options as a country in terms of how we can potentially supplement trade that will now be reduced to America. How can we supplement that with trade with some other countries? And can we potentially see South Africa moving away from America as a strategic trade partner towards certain other countries, especially keeping in mind that we would like to grow industries in South Africa and create jobs through, expanding your factories and things like that in South Africa. Can we see South Africa as a country moving away from America as a strategic partner towards other countries in the Far East, perhaps?
So South Africa does have a fairly diversified export mix in terms of the countries that we export products to. So the US is important, but I've seen some reports this week that suggest that the US is our most important trading partner. That is in fact not the case. If you look at where our exports go, a country like China, for example, we in terms of the value of exports, we actually ship much more goods to China than the US. And then also Europe as a bloc, we also export more to the European bloc than to the US. So I wouldn't necessarily say that, the US will remain important for South Africa, but you are right. I think this does create an opportunity for us to strengthen the ties to some of our other important export partners even more, and then to look at new markets. And what would some of these new markets be? Well, let's think about the African continent. We have this African free trade agreement, which I don't think that we've really made much or gotten much benefit from as yet. So there would certainly be opportunities, I think, to trade more with our closer neighbors on the continent, as one example.